This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Joe Antos. He's the Wilson H. Taylor Scholar in Healthcare and Retirement Policy at the American Enterprise Institute. He's been obviously studying the healthcare debate in great detail here in Washington, and lately he's been specifically looking at the long-term costs of the various healthcare proposals being sponsored up on Capitol Hill, both on the House and Senate sides of Capitol Hill. And Joe, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure, Greg.
Well, the bill that's getting the most attention right now, of course, is the Max Baucus bill, the Senate Finance Committee that went through those hundreds of amendments. And he certainly unveiled his bill with quite a bit of drama after putting the finishing touches on it over the recess and so forth. He claims it's not only deficit neutral, but will actually save the country and the economy money over the years. So what did you learn?
Well, you know, this is something that the Congressional Budget Office agrees with him on, but only up to a point. According to the Congressional Budget Office, and let me add that they are the official scorekeepers for all these bills in Congress. No matter what anybody else says, if it doesn't come out of the CBO, it doesn't matter to Congress. So what I'm about to say may not matter to Congress, but ought to matter to the public. CBO says that the Baucus bill, at least as it was before all these amendments, came in actually reducing the deficit over the next 10 years by about $48 billion. Now, we shouldn't get too excited about that. $48 billion spread out over 10 years averages to less than $5 billion a year, and this is a bill that's going to spend 20 times that every year. So, where do they get the savings? Well, a lot of the savings come from automatic payment reductions to hospitals and other healthcare providers who work for the Medicare program. Those automatic reductions don't work. The Congress has already in place automatic payment reductions for physicians in Medicare, and almost every year since those reductions were put into place, almost every year except the first year, Congress has said, no, we don't want to take such a large cut. We want to give the doctors a little increase, but we don't want to take a 5% cut, a 10% cut, and so on. In Baucus's bill, he's doing the same thing again for physicians and Medicare. He's saying, we don't want to take a 20% cut. We're going to give them a 0.5% increase, and next year we'll take a 25% cut. Well, that's just not believable.
Now, Joe, there have been some groups that have pointed out that basically the plan here is to go after those doctors who ask for the most in Medicare reimbursement. Is that essentially the same item that you're talking about, or is this something different?
Well, the doctors are a little torn on this. They thought they had a deal with the House Democrats that would permanently eliminate the threat of payment reductions through this automated method. They're very upset with Baucus because he's only willing to give them a one-year fix. But the reality is that a one-year fix is as good as a 10-year fix because Congress will year after year after year say we'd rather spend the money, we'd rather not cut physician payments. Now, whether that's a good judgment or not is up to the viewer, but the fact is that these are the kinds of reductions that are supposed to pay for most of Max Baucus's health care reform.
And so if, in fact, Congress does what it has historically done, and that's give the doctors a break and not enforce the provisions of the bill, what does that do to the bottom line?
Well, I did an estimate. I looked at not only what happens if we continue to increase payments to physicians and just ignore that formula, and I also looked at the other automatic cuts that Baucus has in his bill. And under the assumption that the physicians would come out of this just as they have for the last 5 or 6 years, essentially coming out whole, and assuming that the other providers aren't quite as politically powerful, so they only come out half as well as that, that adds $270 billion over the next 10 years to the federal deficit, and it could be much more.
We're talking with Joseph Antos of the American Enterprise Institute. And Joseph, with all these numbers flying around, and of course now that virtually all committees have completed their work and we're going to get to floor debates and compromises and all that sort of stuff, so many numbers are going to be thrown around and swirling about. How does the average viewer, average voter, sort this all out?
You know, it's really very difficult. CBO's estimate only applies to the federal government. And what the average voter should care about is, of course, we should all care about how much the federal government spends because that's our money. But the average voter should also care a lot more about what's going to happen to my costs. How are my premiums going to be affected? What kind of insurance will I be required to buy? And how much will my taxes increase? Those are the questions you have to ask, and it will be very, very difficult to get those answers. But for the middle class, for somebody making $50,000 a year, they're likely to see substantial increases in their premiums. They're likely to see a reduction in the subsidies that they may receive right now from the government, and they're likely to see higher out-of-pocket costs. Or in other words, almost business as usual, but with higher taxes.
Joe, just a couple minutes left here. Obviously, the House is working on this as well. Three different committees have produced the legislation on this, and they're all a little bit different. But in general, what are you seeing on the overall cost from the House side?
On the House side, they're a lot more straightforward about it. They recognize that they need to provide much larger subsidies for the middle class. So they're coming in, according to CBO, at about $1 trillion or a little over $1 trillion in federal costs. And remember that that $1 trillion is paid for primarily by taxpayers and Medicare beneficiaries. Medicare beneficiaries are going to see tighter control over services. They're going to have a harder time making appointments with their doctors. They're going to be thrown out of their Medicare Advantage plans, and the rest of us are simply going to pay higher taxes and higher premiums. So the House bill is, at least for the average voter, for the middle-class American, is a much worse bill than the Baucus bill, but the Baucus bill is nothing to write home about.
Joe, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg.
Joseph Antos of the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.